worship. We praise your name. We praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. We praise you, Jesus. Magnify you. Goodness is high for your grace. Hallelujah. 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 We worship you, Jesus. We praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I've said it before, I'll say it again. There's only one prerequisite for praise. It's only one. Just got to be able to breathe. If you're here, that means you have the prerequisite. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Thank you for an atmosphere of worship and praise. Feels good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Someone said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I know you say, well, you go twice on Sunday. Yep, I know. And I'm glad both times. Sometimes in the evening service, you're a little bit weary. And yeah, there's that humanity part of it that says, man, it sure would be nice sometimes. But you know what? The Bible says this is the rest. Hallelujah. It feels good to be in the house of the Lord. It feels good to feel His presence. To lift Him up, to magnify His name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to make you aware of a few things by way of announcement. First of all, I want to say thank you, Brother White, for noticing the water need to be taken care of. And he just took it. I like when people just take initiative and do what needs to be done when they see it needs to be done. Thank you, Brother White. And that's not a knock against anybody else. Don't get me wrong, but please, I'm not trying to offend anybody. I didn't notice him walked up here and realize it wasn't fresh, and so he decided he'd freshen it up. So I appreciate that. Want to make you aware of a few things. This Tuesday night, men, if you are available, willing, and you want to, we invite you out to my house for a night of fellowship. We'll play basketball. We'll have bags. We'll have horseshoes. So if you're athletic and you really want to get, you know, sweat going, then you can join us on the basketball court. If you'd rather just kind of throw some bags or throw some horseshoes, well, those will be there as well. And this is something we want to start doing on a frequent basis, just getting together. Obviously, I haven't said this to Brother Tom, but we want to invite the young men to come as well from the youth group, just kind of more interacting with them, mentoring them, spending time with them. It's good to spend time with them in the house of the Lord, but it's also good to spend time with them outside of the house of the Lord, fellowshipping with them. So maybe even if that's not your thing, maybe you say, well, I'm not really good at basketball, and you know, I'll throw bags every now and then or horseshoes, but if you just come in fellowship, I'm sure you'll have a good time, and we'll welcome the fellowship. That's this coming Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m., and again, hopefully the first of many that we can have and get together. Other things, by way of announcement, on the calendar, won't take the time to go through all of them. I do want to mention She's for Christ. We are drawing toward its conclusion, and September is the deadline, and so we would ask you to start. We have cans at the back. I notice some of you have already taken cans. This is just a small way you can help us support She's for Christ by taking those cans, filling them up. Maybe your place of work allows that kind of thing where you can put a coin bank out. That's fine, too, if they allow that. But just if you'll fill them up, bring them back, we'll take them, get them counted, and that will go towards She's for Christ. We have pledged $1,500 this year. Two She's for Christ, and I don't think that should be any problem with us putting our resources together and being able to give an offering of $1,500 to She's for Christ. Amen? If you have your Bibles and you'd be so kind, stand to your feet. One other thing I do want to announce, I want you to be in prayer concerning, it's about a month away now, but August 27th on a Wednesday night, we discussed this in our last department heads meeting. We're going to have what's called a back-to-school bash, and this is we're going to take a Wednesday night service and have games, activities, fun stuff for the kids, but that does not exempt you older folks or those of you who are not kids Obviously, we need help manning equipment. We need help putting things together. We just want to have kind of a Wednesday night that we try to get. During the summer, we lose some contact with some of these kids, some that we bring on the bus. And so we want to try to, as school starts again, they get more in a regular routine. Summer vacations are over, that sort of stuff. We want to engage them again, get them coming to the house of the Lord. And so we're going to do that on August 27th. That is a Wednesday night. And we're calling it Back to School Bash. Looking forward to that. Isaiah chapter number 37. Isaiah chapter number 37. Begin reading in verse number 1. You there? Can you say amen? I'll wait longer. Oh, they're rolling in now. I even heard a child say amen over here, so evidently they found it. Isaiah chapter number 37, beginning verse number 1. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it that he rent his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. He sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, unto Isaiah the prophet, son of Amoz. And they said unto him, Thus saith Hezekiah, This day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and of blasphemy. For the children are come forth to birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, I guess is how you say it, not sure, whom the king of Assyria, his master, had sent to reproach the living God, and he will reprove the words which the Lord God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. We stop right here. We'll do a little background here in the moment of what has caused Hezekiah to respond this way. But he realizes that something drastic has to be done. And so the Bible says that he sends these men to the prophet Isaiah. They come before the prophet Isaiah and they utter these words before the prophet Isaiah. And they ask him, please lift up a prayer. Intercede on behalf of the remnant that is left. There's a few of us left here in Jerusalem, and Isaiah, we need you to pray. Even King Hezekiah knew the power of a praying prophet. Ooh, that's another sermon for another time. But the king of Jerusalem, a good king, the Bible tells us, he knew the power of a praying prophet. And so he sends these men to Isaiah the prophet. Verse number 5. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And Isaiah said unto him, Thus shall you say to your master, Thus saith the Lord, Be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Syria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. I want to draw your attention back to verse number 3. A very peculiar statement is made when the servants of King Hezekiah addressed the prophet Isaiah. They make this statement. The Bible says in verse number 3, And they said unto him, Thus saith Hezekiah, This day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and of blasphemy. And then this. For the children are come to birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. Somewhat odd, it seems somewhat peculiar that that would be their statement, that that would be what they would come to the prophet Isaiah with the words from King Hezekiah. That the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. One translation says the mothers are at the birthing stool, but they do not have the strength to give birth. With the help of the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this subject. The strength to bring forth. The strength to bring forth. Can we pray? Dear Jesus, we love you. Lord, I thank you for another opportunity to be here in your house, to lift our voices in praise and acclamation unto you, Lord. I thank God for the precious people that have gathered together, God, assembled themselves, God.
Lord, understanding that we draw near, God, to that time, Lord, and we ask and we need your help. We need you to intervene, Lord, that you are the one that provides the strength to bring forth. You are the one that makes a way out of no way, God, that we can call upon you, that if we respond as King Hezekiah responded, if we understand the enemy is encamped against us, Lord, but you are God. You are God of heaven and earth, and we can call unto you, and we can beseech your throne, even though we may be weary in well-doing, even though we may be travailing through the night. We know that joy comes in the morning because you are the King. You are the one, Lord. And we ask you, God, that you would help open our minds, open our hearts to receive your word, God, that we would understand that you provide the strength to bring forth, that even in the midst of travail, even in the midst of giving birth, God, you're able, God, to bring forth what you have stated. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. The strength to bring forth. Some background of this story, if you want to read it, you can find it in 2 Kings 18 or here in Isaiah 36 through 38. We find that the Assyrians have been massacring and marauding throughout the land. They have already taken the city of Samaria and the defense cities of Judah. You do a little historical research and you will find that according to history that this King Sennacherib, along with his Assyrian army, they have taken and they have captured 46 walled defense cities. They are an army to be reckoned with. They are an army that is confident in its ability to conquer whatever land they come in contact with. And so they have swept across the area. And now the Bible lets us know that they stand just outside the walls of the city of Jerusalem. And now, according to statistics, there is about 185,000 armed men that are encamped around about the city. And they're ready. The word from their leader to go forth and take this city of Jerusalem. There are three elders of the city, three men that King Hezekiah commissioned to go and meet with this man from the Assyrian armor. This man who his name means, or the word means, cupbearer. Evidently he was a part of the king's household. He was one that came in the leadership and authority of King Sennacherib. And so this man comes and presents himself outside the wall of the city of Jerusalem. Now these three men, they go, and one is named Micaiah, the other one is Joah, and the other one is Shebna. And they come and they present themselves before this man. And this man begins to speak, not in the Syrian tongue, but he begins to speak in the Hebrew tongue. He begins to speak loud enough so that the Jews that are on the wall can hear him. And he begins to taunt and he begins to intimidate. He begins to say things like, you understand that no gods have spared any other nations, and we have gone where we wanted to go, and now those gods of other nations have fallen to us, and now we've come here to Jerusalem, and we intend to take it. If you would like to, you can make pledges. If you would like to bow and say that you will serve us, we will just take you into captivity. We will just make you another one of our conquered people, and you won't have to fight and be destroyed and be massacred and marauded like we've done all the others. All you need to do is just acquiesce to our intentions and say that it's okay for us to come in and take over. We understand. You do a little study, you will find that King Hezekiah has already paid tribute. He has already given talents of silver. He has already, the Bible says that he takes all the silver from the house of the Lord. He gives it unto them. He strips, the Bible says, from the gold from the doors of the house of the Lord and from the pillars. He takes it. He strips the treasures out of the house of the Lord and he presents it unto King Sennacherib, but it is not enough. There's one thing we need to know and understand about the enemy. The enemy is not content with just treasures that we have. It's not content with just some things that we have in the house of the Lord. It's not content with just things that are precious unto us. It is not satisfied until it has utter destruction. It is not satisfied until it leads us away captive. And so we may try to appease. We may try to give things. We may try to acquiesce to some extent, but it will not appease the enemy. They will not go away. They will not say, yeah, okay, that's enough. As is the case here, Hezekiah has already tried to give tribute. He's already tried to suffice with treasure. He's already stripped the house of the Lord, the Bible says. and given unto King Sennacherib, but he says, no, that's not enough. We want to come and we want to take. The Bible says that this man, this one who comes in the name of the king, he presents himself before the walled city of Jerusalem, and he begins to speak in the Hebrew tongue. And this is not customary. This is not common, for he should have come and spoke to those leaders who also spoke Syrian so that they could discuss and have private conversation and discuss what was about to happen. But no, he's so bold and he's so brazen and he's so intimidating that he stands outside and begins to yell so those that are on the wall can hear. Up my mind, you know, the Bible talks about us, the shepherds, those that are in ministry, those that are leading, that we are the watchmen on the wall. How that the enemy loves to intimidate. The enemy loves to try to tell us. Even though there's just a remnant, the enemy says, you need to acquiesce like everybody else. You're not going to stand. You're not going to be able to make it. We've encamped around about you. Look, the numbers are on our side. There's just a remnant. The Bible says that this man from Assyria, he tells and gives a message unto King Hezekiah. If you'll pay us tribute, we'll give you 2,000 horses. But you won't be able to put men on them. You don't even have enough men to sit upon the backs of 2,000 horses. You have nothing. You're depleted. There's just a remnant that remains, Hezekiah. There's just a few here that are holed up in the walled city of Jerusalem. And they've taken everything else. They've taken the other 10 tribes. They've taken the city of Samaria. There's just a few of you left, Hezekiah. Why? This man from the Assyrian army, he can't understand. He said, why do you have such confidence? Why do you trust in the Lord your God? None of the other gods were able to save any of the others that we went against. Why trust you in the Lord your God? Why? Don't you understand? He will not save you. He will not stop you. Do you not understand? And this is the Bible. The Bible says that the Lord spoke unto Sennacherib and told him to go against Jerusalem. How intimidating it must have been for Hezekiah. And the Bible says that when this message comes, when it comes to his ears, that this man from the Assyrian army is making these statements and shouting even in the Jews' language to the watchmen that are on the wall. And now Hezekiah, once he hears the words, the Bible says he rent his clothes. Such anguish. Such dire straits. He doesn't know what to do. He's already tried to appease the enemy. He's already taken everything of value and given it unto the enemy. And now he's thinking about the families. He's thinking about the people here. The remnant that is left that are free right now. But soon, if God doesn't do something, they're going to be taken captive. And so the Bible says that he rent his clothes. Covered himself with sackcloth, a sign of repentance, a sign of turning unto God, a sign of humility. He took off his royal robes. He took off that thing which identified him as king. And he said, I'm just like everybody else. I'm covered in sackcloth. And then he did this. The Bible says that he went into the house of the Lord. I began to think about that. This same house of the Lord that he had stripped of all its silver. He had taken the gold from off the doors and off the pillars. This same house of the Lord that he had stripped in trying to appease the enemy. He now makes his way. Covered in sackcloth. He makes his way into this stripped temple. He makes his way into an area that has been taken. The gold and the silver has been taken from it. And there he goes in the house of the Lord. Listen, there is something we need to understand in this story. Better is one day in the house of the Lord than thousands elsewhere. It may seem like that some stripping has been done, some precious things have been removed. It may seem like we don't have it all together, but we know where our help comes from. We can go and inquire in the house of the Lord. And though it may not be all beautiful anymore, and though it may be stripped of some things, it's still my source of help. It's still my source of strength. And the enemy's outside, but I'm going into the house of the Lord. I believe it was there in prayer. I believe it was there when Hezekiah there in sackcloth, kneeling before the Lord in a house that had been stripped of silver and gold. I believe it was there that Hezekiah got the understanding. You need to go to the praying prophet. You need to send some men to Isaiah. You know the power of a praying prophet, Hezekiah. You need to send men to him. So the Bible says, he sends messengers unto the prophet Isaiah. He says, oh, this is not a good day. I'm sorry to report to you, Isaiah, but this day is a day of rebuke. This day is a day of blasphemy. This day is not a good day, Isaiah. You know, here's what I think. Though Hezekiah was a good king, I think maybe he should have gone to the Lord before he stripped the house of the Lord. I think maybe he should have gone to the praying prophet before he tried to appease the enemy. I think maybe if he did any one thing wrong, he went about it in the wrong direction. He went to God as his last resort instead of his first resort. I know he had already had some things that he had lined up with Egypt. But the guy from Assyria said, listen, you can't trust in Egypt. They're not going to come save you. They're just a reed that you lean upon and it's going to break and pierce your hand. Egypt's not going to help you. Oh, I would that Hezekiah would have turned to the house of the Lord first. I would that he would have rent his clothes first and covered himself with sackcloth first and went into the house of the Lord first. Now, finally dawns on him what he needs to do. Now, he finally understands. I got to send some people to the praying prophet. I got to send them to Isaiah. I've got to tell Isaiah what's going on. I got to get a word from the Lord. I got to get a word from how many times has it been where you've been in dire straits and the enemy's been encamped around about you and you've come to the house of the Lord. Why? Because you need a word from the Lord. You need God to speak into your life. You need God to say something to give you the assurance that it's going to be all right. That the remnant's still going to be saved. That God's going to do what he said he's going to do. Hezekiah living right and doing right is not going to return void. Get into the house of the Lord and get a word from him. So these men go to the prophet Isaiah and give him the dire news. They let him know what is going on. They tell him what has happened. And they make this statement. He said, this is a day of trouble. This is a day of rebuke. This is a day of blasphemy. For the children are come forth. They're ready to be born. The children are come to birth. But there is not strength enough to bring forth. Isaiah, we realize there's something happening right now. This is such a dire situation. You need to understand that in those days and age, giving birth was one of the most miraculous things anybody could ever witness. It was spiritual unto them. That's why they use it many times in parallel to what was going on in the life. But when they make the statement that the children are come forth to birth, but there is not enough strength to birth them, what they are simply saying is that we are in such dire straits. Any of you that have medical knowledge concerning what that would mean, that would simply mean that the baby is in the birth canal, but the mother doesn't have enough strength to push anymore, and so the baby cannot be pushed forth. So what would happen in the case back in Bible times where there was no emergency C-section, where there was no rolling the woman into the operating room and cutting her open and taking the baby? What they're saying is, listen, they're both going to die. Don't you understand that Mother Jerusalem and the babies are going to die? Isaiah, you need to understand. This is such dire straits. We're in such trouble. There's been such rebuke and such blasphemy that the mother and the baby are in jeopardy.
Oh, please pray. Isaiah, please pray. Please beseech the Lord. We need a word from the Lord. We've tried appeasement. We've tried giving treasure. We've tried doing everything we can on our own, but we realize it's not sufficient. And now there's not enough strength to bring forth. Isaiah, Mother Jerusalem and her babies are nigh unto death. We've tried it all. We've got this little remnant, and they've got hundreds of thousands. What can we do? How can we go forward? There's something we need to be reminded. God will many times bring us to the place. The Bible says that it was the Lord that sent King Sennacherib and the Assyrian army there to Jerusalem. It was the Lord that caused the enemy to encamp around about. But you need to understand, He knows the end from the beginning. He already knows what's going to happen. He already knows what's going to take place. Can I make this parallel? I don't believe it's a far stretch to see the end time in the story when the enemy is encamped around about. The Bible tells us, listen, the representative from the Assyrian army was saying, listen, if you'll just turn to us, you'll be able to buy and sell. You'll be able to have whatever you want to have, and we'll do good unto you, and we'll be nice unto you. Is that not the voice of the Antichrist, which says, if you'll just take my mark, you'll be able to buy and sell. I'll be able to make things good for you. Look at everybody else that doesn't serve God. Look at all the things that we have conquered in our flesh. And the enemy stands intimidating and mocking, and the enemy shouts, even in our own spiritual language sometimes, trying to convince us it's over. The battle's been lost. We might as well give up and cash in. We might as well just go into captivity, then be dead on the battlefield. Oh, I would to God that we would understand this story and say, oh, no, no, not me. I will rend my clothes. I will put on sackcloth of repentance, and I will go into the house of the Lord to get a word from Him. I realize, I understand. I'm aware of the times that we're in. I'm aware the enemy is taunting. I'm aware the enemy's intimidating. I'm aware the straits are dire. I'm aware of what's happening in our world. But I would to God that we would understand that right now at this peculiar time, that right now in this moment, there are babies ready to be born. There are people ready to come to the truth. There are people who want something real. There are people who are tired of this world and it leading them astray. There are babies ready to be born. I would to God that we would realize our strength to birth them doesn't come by our intellect. Our strength to birth them does not come by appeasement or compromise. Our strength to birth them comes from God. When there's trouble and when there's travail, that means birth is happening. When there's trouble and travail, we know, we understand, God is beginning to wrap this thing up. Things are happening right now. Fulfillments of prophecy are going on as we speak. Do you understand that at this point in time, there are going to be some sensitive to the Spirit who are ready to be born? And I would to God that we would have a different outlook to say, yes, I know it. I know it's problematic, if you will. And I know there's a lot of trouble. And I know there's a lot of rebuke and a lot of blasphemy. But I also recognize that children are ready to be born. And there's got to be some strength that says push. Keep travailing. Keep pushing. It's going to happen. God will bring it to pass. Let's follow the word of God. The Bible says if when tongues go forth, we should pray for the interpretation. Let's beseech the Lord right now that God would use someone to speak a word, that God would use someone to speak right now in the power of the Holy Ghost.
all over this house and lift our hands and begin to pray in a loud voice. Don't you pray softly. When a woman's in travail, she doesn't just have a little whimper. Listen, I've been there. I know what it's like. It takes every ounce of their being. It takes a, they're completely and utterly exhausted during the birthing process. I would to God, don't be weary in well-doing, saints. Don't give up. Keep pushing. Keep travailing. Children are yet to be born. I know the house of the God may be a little bit bare, but don't you be weary in well-doing. I know the enemy's encamped around about, but you need to understand there's some strength to bring birth. There's some strength to bring forth, and it comes from God. Oh, let's travail right now in the Holy Ghost. That there would be some wailing for some lost souls. If someone will realize we are brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. I know the enemies are round about, but there are children that need to be born. Don't let the mother die with the baby. Come on, Mother Church. Keep travailing. Come on, Mother Church. Keep praying. Keep believing. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. I got more to say, but God says, let me have it. I want to turn this over to the Holy Ghost. Let there be weeping. Let there be travail. The strength to bring forth comes from God. It's not by your intellect. It's not by you assimilating to society. It's not by you being normal. It's about some travailing going forth. It's about Zion travailing so the children are born. The strength comes from the Lord. Don't be weary in well-doing. Keep pushing, keep praying, keep believing. There's someone you work with, there's someone you interact with that's ready to be born. They're ready to come in the knowledge of truth. They're ready to receive the Spirit. Don't give up. Don't stop pushing. I know it seems dire. I know it seems like the enemy has the upper hand. But God will send a blast. God will cause a rumor so that the enemy turns away and falls on its own sword. You need to understand there's still victory in Jesus. Just keep pushing. Just keep travailing. The strength comes from the Lord. I begin to call out some names before the Lord. Begin to call out names of family members, loved ones, people that you know, people that you interact with. Begin to call them out. Say, God, help me, God. I need your strength, God. Help me, God. Let me repent, Lord. Let me spend time in your house so that you can bring forth. You can give me the strength to bring forth. I'm nothing else. This young preacher standing before you, encouraging you. Just keep on. Just keep pressing. Just keep pushing. God's trying to birth things in this church. God's trying to birth things in your ministry. God's trying to birth things in your walking relationship with Him. Just keep pushing. Just keep pressing. God's got what you need. Just keep pressing. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. You carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in His power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. You carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in His power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. Can you sing it with me if you know it? His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. You carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in His power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. Thank you, Jesus. Our strength comes from You. Our help comes from You. There are children ready to be born, God. Help us, God. We need Your strength, God. We need a word from You. We need You, God, to intervene, to work, to do as only You can do, God. For the strength to bring forth comes from You. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ask my wife to come back to the piano if she would. The first song we sang in the opening of service, I think, is so fitting. If we understand that the strength to bring forth comes from God, there's got to be nothing we want more than His presence, His power. The power of the Holy Ghost to work in our lives, to give us the power, the strength to bring forth. There are souls, I don't know, maybe you've seen some of this, but here in the last few weeks there have been, according to what I've seen, I don't know all the details yet, but I've seen some chatterings on Facebook. There have been multiple stabbings here in the city of Sandwich of late. I'm not trying to sensationalize anything. I'm simply saying I believe there's stuff going on in the spirit realm. I don't for one minute believe that some of the words that have been spoken to me, prophesied over me, I don't believe for one minute that they're of naught. God's doing something. Things are happening. I don't know about you, but I
I don't want any babies to die in the birthing canal. I want to have the strength. It's not going to be on my own. I got to pray more than I ever prayed. I've got to enter into the atmosphere and the power and presence of God, because that's where my strength comes from. That's where my help comes from. So there's got to be nothing I want more than the presence of the Lord and to be in His. Lord, let us become more aware of Your presence. Let us experience the glory of Your goodness, God. That's where the strength to give birth, to bring forth, is going to come from, by being in Your presence, Lord. Huh? Can we sing this together?
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living home. Your presence, Lord. Of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord, God is what I
all over this house. Can we lift our hands? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Strength to bring forth comes from you. No matter how much trouble, no matter how much the enemy is encamped around about us, God. Even in the midst of it, God, you are bringing forth children. Help us, God. Rely upon you, God. Be in your house to hear a word from you, for it will empower us, it will strengthen us. Allow us to tap in on what it takes to bring forth. Thank you, Jesus. How wonderful you are, God, how mighty you are. How gracious, love, caring. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. One more time, can you clap your hands in the Lord? Hallelujah. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this evening. May go in Jesus' name.